Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small as he interviews Steve Sutton, a missionary in Cambodia, during this previously recorded interview.
Well, welcome to this special one-hour program on Renew FM. We have been airing weekdays 6 to 7 p.m., and it's our response. We want to give you a hope at a time like this, further hope, encourage your hope in this time of COVID-19 and coronavirus. And so I'm here in the studio again, and it's been a privilege for me to connect with different pastors and missionaries around the world and just to use this opportunity to, you know, have a brother, sister in Christ somewhere share their heart with you, encourage you at such a time. We have the privilege of using technology and using radio and connecting together and bringing just encouragement through the airwaves, or maybe you're listening online or on one of the phone apps or whatever it might be. So again, welcome. This is Pastor George Small, as you heard in the introduction. This is a pre-recorded program that was recorded this morning. We're airing it here in New England on Friday afternoon, evening, and yet we did this in the morning because of the time change between New England and the guests that I wanted to bring on the air, and that is Steve Sutton. Steve Sutton is a man that I've known a good number of years, knew him when he was a young man living here in central New England, and watched God get a hold of his heart and God send him away. He's now been in Cambodia for a good number of years, is married to a wonderful Cambodian woman, and they have two children, a third one on the way. And but ministering outside of Phnom Penh, I went there a number of years ago. I want to say it's about 2 hours on the motorbike, or we use the SUV. I think it's about 2 hours outside of Phnom Penh and the villages. And Steve has just a hunger for God and a heart for the villages and his children and the people and bringing the gospel. And God is just doing a neat work. And so it's a privilege to have him on our radio to be able to encourage you, because COVID-19 has affected the entire world. And so you get to listen a little bit to a man who's in Southeast Asia in the villages of Cambodia, where the virus itself hasn't necessarily reached. But yet the whole world, God has got our attention at this time. And so, well, Steve, welcome to Renew FM. It's really great to connect with you.
Thanks. Good to connect with you, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. And, you know, we realize we're using, you know, the cell and the internet and all that. And I've been to your village there and realize it's incredible you even have a cell tower. But we also realize that, at least in the eyes of an American in a remote part of the world. But, Steve, you know, it's just a privilege to connect with you. And COVID-19, tell us first, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your ministry. And then I'd like to talk to you about COVID-19, and we'll move on from there.
Okay, sure. Well, yeah, just by way of introduction for me and my family and my ministry. I'm Stephen, as George said. My wife is Annie, and then we've got a house full of kids, actually. The one born to us, it's three soon, but we got more than that in the house. We had a house full, so and that's a long story, but I think I'll leave it at that anyway. So we're out here in the village. I did, for a while, had lived in the city, worked with an organization there that teaches and disciples youth and children. And then we've been living out here in the village. It's 100 kilometers outside the city, so it's roughly a three-hour drive each way. So we've been out here for 4 years now, and we've been working a lot with the local church. We've been teaching English, doing children's ministry, and a whole bunch of other, you know, related and unrelated, you know, things that come up. I mean, I'm sure George can tell you too, anybody who's in ministry, you do a little of everything pretty much, just whatever there's need for.
Well, yeah, being in the village, Steve, I've seen what you do and all the different things you do in village life and loving people and encourage people. And I know you've got ministry going with little Bible clubs with the children. Bible studies you're doing with different villagers.
Yeah.
And what's amazing, Steve, is you also mastered the Khmer language so quickly. And that's something I've witnessed myself, where you speak it so fluently. So you're used, obviously, with other missions groups that come in, even other organizations, to do translation, because you speak it so well.
Yeah.
And you really become... Yeah, you're somebody here in central New England that's from this area that's really become a Cambodian in many ways.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're seen that way in the eyes of the local villagers. I think you're like a little Hudson Taylor, and I don't mean to use the word little, but Hudson Taylor to Cambodia, where you've learned the language and you're there to live, and as you've told us, to die and just to love the people.
It's funny you say little, just because that doesn't bother me in the least. As you know, as Americans go, I'm probably a bit below the average height, but few people here have told me, you know, they know Americans are big. So they're like, well, how come you're not big like they are? And I've even had a couple of people tell me, well, it's okay, you can be Khmer because you're small enough.
That's funny. I remember going to visit you, and one of the young men on our team, I think he's 6'3 or 6'4, and it was quite a thing, because everyone noticed him. He was pretty notorious. I mean, everybody wanted to come talk to him. Kids wanted to play with him, because in their eyes, he was like, you know, the Shaq. You know, he was, you know, like an NBA ball. He was just huge to them. It was quite a thing to witness.
Oh, yeah. We're amazed.
Yeah. Well, again, a privilege having you on, Steve. And so I'm doing this because our world has really been impacted. And I hear many people say, even, you know, the secular expert voices, whatever you want to call them, that the world may not be the same after this. The world may be different. And how is COVID-19, from what I can tell, the virus hasn't impacted directly as far as reaching many lives, but how has it impacted your area of Cambodia, and what are you seeing and as you look around at this time in your world there in Southeast Asia?
Sure, yeah. We've certainly been impacted here, as pretty much everybody around the world has. And, you know, unfortunately, the impact has been a lot of negative things, although there are a handful of positive things that come out of this too. So I guess probably I better start with the general and then the negative stuff, and then move on to the positive stuff. Save the good news for last. So, I mean, the COVID-19 has definitely been in Cambodia just as it has anywhere. Although thankfully, you know, here in Cambodia, we've been, so far, have been spared the worst of it. There's only a little over 120 cases total, no deaths. And so we never experienced the full lockdown like a lot of places, especially in Europe and America have. So we've been spared the worst of it that way. But it certainly has dramatically affected, you know, everyday life. And, I can't help wondering sometimes whether things are ever going to get back to normal. But time will tell. But basically, I mean, we had a 1 week in the middle of April where travel was restricted. But apart from that, it's mostly just a strong suggestion, you know, that you avoid unnecessary travel and, you know, you wear masks when you go out. But, I mean, honestly, most people are at this point pretty much, you know, living their normal daily lives just as they were before. You know, it's not like everybody's even wearing masks, which here is not a big deal like it is in the States. I mean, even way years before this, it's normal for people to go around wearing masks. But anyway, so some aren't. But tourism is a huge thing in Cambodia, and that's pretty much almost down to zero. So that's made a big impact. And factory work is a main source of work and income for a large percentage of the population. When China was the first to get hit, that had a direct impact on Cambodia too. And there's still a number of factories that are closed. I personally know a lot of people who are out of work, so there's a big impact that way. As far as, you know, what we see and experience personally every day, the biggest impact is the schools and churches. So education and you know, religious life. Back in the middle of March, all the schools were closed throughout the country. All the churches and temples and whatever places of worship were all told to temporarily shut down, basically, and avoid meetings to avoid spreading, you know, the COVID-19. So since then, even though, you know, by early May, there were no active cases in the country, but just through the, you know, through the fear of having, you know, cases imported and starting to spread throughout the country again, because, you know, Cambodia is not at all equipped to, like, set up certain strict standards for reopening things like in the U.S. or in other countries. So anyway, they're being really, really cautious, and they've announced recently that it sounds like probably could be as late as November before schools are opened again. And so what that means is essentially the majority of the kids in the whole country are essentially out of school. I mean, there's this attempt to set up, you know, online classes, you know, but for a lot of kids, particularly in the villages, they're pretty much just out of school, which is unfortunate because it looks like they're going to lose this entire school year. School starts here in November, so they only had a few months in school before they pretty much lost the rest of their school year. So that's a major impact. And then as far as, churches, they're still closed too. So that's a major impact. You know, we can't go to church like we normally would. All our English classes, all our children's ministry classes are all canceled indefinitely at this point.
That's, you know, Steve, that's just really incredible to hear. And, you know, you're listening to Renew FM right now, and this is Pastor George Small. I have Steve Sutton on with me. This is something we pre-recorded in the morning. We're airing, we recorded it Friday morning, and now we're airing it Friday evening because Steve is in Cambodia. He's in the villages of Cambodia, which is just about the other side of the world from Central Mass here in Boston. It's an 11-hour time change, so we've had to do this earlier in the day and record it so we can air it at a normal time, 6 to 7 p.m. But just consider that, again, with me as we're listening. You can hear the crickets in the background just to prove that Steve is in the villages. And I think you're the first one, Steve, that we've had crickets also join us on the radio.
Okay.
But I can hear them. So if anyone's listening and wondering, what's those noises we hear? They're crickets. But you're in the just remote villages of Cambodia. As you mentioned, you are on an area where there is a road now that goes by to the tourist destination. It's one of the wonders in the world today, the Angkor Wat ruins. And so there's a road that goes by, and that was something that's been really paved now. Your store's popping up along the road because tourists are going to see this ruin. And as you mentioned, the finances is, you know, obviously the tourist industry is stopped because of COVID-19, so a lot less traffic, and I wonder how some of those stores are doing. But, you know, for the listener, incredible, the whole globe, even the virus is hardly, you said there's only, you know, what, 100 and some odd cases of COVID-19 in the entire country of Cambodia, and yet you're explaining how schools have shut down. Finances. This is incredible what God has allowed. It's just incredible, the whole globe. And the big question then you wonder, with God who is sovereign, why would God allow this whole world? This isn't just a nation or a region of a nation. This isn't, you know, an earthquake or a hurricane. This is something the whole world is experiencing at this hour of 2020. And so I just wanted to jump in, Steve, as you're sharing how it's impacting you where you are at. Again, to stress with our listeners that as Christians, well, we really need to take this to heart. We really want to be living for the Lord, that God would allow this. Sure, there's been viruses that have gone around the world before, but because of the modern day, this has spread so quickly. And in that way, it's put the brakes on the world so quickly, which is very unique in that way, that the whole world, such remote places all together with modern places and big cities, we're all doing this together. And so, Steve, I just wanted to jump in and remind our listeners, and as they hear the crickets, they know they're crickets because you're on a village phone there. But keep going, Steve. Back to you.
Well, at this point, I want to get into the positive side. There's a whole lot of negative things that are happening. There's also some positives. And so I guess first I want to start with the church. So even though we can't go get together at the church like we usually do, a nice church building sitting empty there, but, you know, the positive is a lot of the church members still have been able to get together quietly in small groups in different houses. And, you know, our home has certainly been a big part of that. A number of times we've had a handful of church members come over for small group Bible study and worship and just fellowship and having a meal together. So it's become really, really intimate, really nice. And so the small group midweek Bible study that I have been teaching through the church, in fact, has kept going. We just can't go out and invite a whole lot of people, but you know, the core group still comes, and we still do our Bible study, so that's good. And, you know, same thing at the pastor's house. Sometimes we get together with him. He'll get together with, you know, different ones in the local congregation. So, you know, God's still working. I saw this, I think it was on Facebook a little while back, this cartoon of God and Satan talking together, and Satan's like, ha-ha, I closed all the churches. And then God replies, and he's like, yeah, it's okay. I just opened one in every house. And that's kind of what we're experiencing here.
So, yeah, I like that. That's beautiful, Steve. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy thinking that he's hurt the church, but any persecution, it's like, well, this isn't necessarily persecution, so I don't want to misrepresent that, but any sort of tribulation, including persecution when it does come, is something that it's like putting gas on the fire. It actually is good for the church. More difficult life, more difficult road is always good for the believer. And so, yeah, as you just mentioned, you know, you talk about having a Bible study in your house. It's just wonderful. I remember, you know, for our listeners, when I visited you a number of years ago, you were renting a house which was really a one-room wooden cottage, I would say, just a one-room wooden building, but on stilts, you know. That's what I would describe it, on stilts, for, I guess, because of the water and the rain season, an underneath area you could use, but really you lived above it. But now the Lord has provided you a home, as people have been partnering with you, and you've built a home there in the village, and now you've got a strong home structure. You're able to minister at this time. God sent you there and is using you, and now your home is even being used for a church to meet. Well, that's just wonderful. Yeah. I'm just excited to even think through that with you. So the positive, amen. It's just such a blessing, you know, just to hear that. Yeah. Well, as you continue, just to see what's happening in the world, and you know New England, Steve, you know this area, you grew up here, and, you know, what would you say to the church at this hour in the New England area, your roots, your home, your former home? You're now a part of the world of Cambodia and Southeast Asia, but what would you say at this hour?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's a lot we could say, but I guess the primary thing that I would really just want to emphasize is just that, you know, we're in the last. I don't want to get off on any rabbit trails here or theology, but, you know, we have a limited time, regardless of what your theology is. We don't have forever on this earth. And so, you know, this is just one more thing that's showing us so clearly how, you know, everything that we're used to, everything that we have, it can just be gone in a moment, or it can become utterly useless, you know, in a moment. It's not what matters. The life and the stuff that we have on this earth, it's not what really matters. And like, where is that? Maybe in Proverbs, where it says, if riches increase, don't set your heart on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so easy to let that happen, though. But this is a reminder to us that, you know what, things can change in an instant, you know, where everything that we're used to and comfortable with can just totally gone or changed in an instant. And so, you know, we really need to keep an eternal perspective of what really has value, what really matters, and that is, you know, God and his truth and his kingdom. And, you know, eventually we're going to be out of here, you know, whether it's through, you know, natural causes, we get old and we get sick and we die and whatever, or whether it's through, you know, rapture, or whether it's through any number of, you know, situations, we're not going to be here forever. Someday we're going to be out of here, you know, and we're going to be living in eternity. So that's what really matters, you know. And like I often say, because here in Cambodia, people will, if they want to bless you or to say something good to you, they'll say "Ayut Maroy," which means "I hope you live to 100." And you know, that's like the blessing the older people will give to the younger people. "I hope you live to 100." But you know what? You know, and that's like everybody's desire. They want a long and happy life. But really, even if you live to 100 or more, that's nothing compared to eternity. And, you know, all the stuff and the possessions and the experiences and the fun and whatever that you could have now on this earth, it's nothing compared to, you know, what's in heaven and what's in eternity. So, you know, I just want to encourage and exhort, you know, the body of Christ, the local believers, to really focus on what really matters. You know, like Jesus said, that where your treasure is, there your heart is. There's nothing that we can take with us here's another thing I like to tell people sometimes. I say, there's nothing that we can take with us when we leave this earth except one thing. Like, whoa, what? You're going to pre-perish? You can take something with you? No. There's one thing that you can take with you, and that is other people. Now, I'm not saying that it's our work, we're the ones that do it, but we're the ones that God uses to reach out to other people so that they'll know him, so that they'll know the truth and they'll receive the eternal life. So that's the one thing that we can take with us when we go. And, you know, I want to take as many people with me as I can.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, Steve, you've made so many great comments. You're an example. You're somebody that, when you share these words, you also show them with your life. Sometimes I can read a book or a devotion. I can hear even a sermon from a pastor. And then I wonder, based on the way he's saying things, I'm wondering, how well does he know those very things that he's stating, you know, because he lives so comfortably and he has all these things, you know, the latest car models and he's stating these things. And yet I wonder how well he knows them in his heart. And only God is the judge, of course. But, you know, Steve, you had a job here at a bank, I remember, and you just went for it. You left everything. You moved to Cambodia and you lived in a one room. You lived an incredibly simple life for a few years. And now there's a little bit more, you know, that you have that you can live in with a house and stuff. But obviously you're not a person that has set your life on these riches of this world. They don't hold your heart, and you're living for the Lord and you want to be used of the Lord. And so as you're listening to Renew FM, I've got Steve Sutton on the phone. This is a recorded interview we did Friday morning to air on Friday night because we're 11 hours apart. He's in the villages of Cambodia on his phone, and he's in a remote place. So we're hoping the phone connection will remain and you can hear some of the village noise and some of the cricket noise behind him. But he lives for the Lord, and I wanted to interview him to remind you of the vastness and the greatness of what God is doing at this moment, because even in remote corners of the planet, we're all in this together. And Steve is, from his vantage point, ministering to the Cambodian people. He's reminding you and I not to set your heart on the things of this world, because there's not a lot of time. That's the words he's used. There is not a lot of time. We're at the last days. We have limited time. And, you know, I personally do believe that. I believe that based on what the Bible says. And I think a lot of people also look around. I was talking to a man that, from what I know, he's a businessman. He does not have a personal relationship with the Lord here in Central Mass. And this was 2 days ago. We happened to cross paths, and I was asking how his business was doing. And as we were talking, it took very little time. He made it clear, you know, that we live at a time that is incredible. You know, he's looking around, and he even said this. This is somebody that doesn't profess Christ. He looked at the COVID-19, and he said this. He said this to me. He says, is war going to come next? He goes, I wonder if war is going to come next. Just think about that. This is a man in just the world looking at the economic uncertainty, looking at a virus that came out of China that spread all over the world. And then, you know, the tensions in the world. He's wondering, is war going to come? Is war going to come? You set your heart on your checkbook or your stock or your path that you laid out, if it's just a path that you've laid out. And that's what, if you're a believer, and maybe even doctrinally, your doctrine has been healthy and wealthy, that it's the stuff of the world that's really gathered, you know, been your focus. You're missing the point. We live for heaven. We live for the eternal. We don't have a lot of time. Our lives pass quickly, no matter how you divvy it up. And yet, as we look around at a time of COVID-19, maybe we even have less time than we think we do, in the sense of even the human life. The Cambodia blessing Steve just shared with us in Cambodia, when somebody blesses somebody, the children or whatever, will say, I hope you live to 100. And he quoted that in Khmer. I hope you live to 100. But what will that do for you? Not much if you live to 100. And, you know, statistically, the chances of a person living to 100 gets a lot less than, you know, for many people. So eternity is what matters. Focusing on God is what matters. Your televisions are just taking up your time. They are just seducing you. They're deluding you rather than somebody that God can use. You have to watch that stuff less. You can watch a little, but you really got to keep a limit to it and really, really be disciplined at this time so your life matters and your life counts, because you're going to give an account for your life. So focus on what matters. And what matters is people. That's especially what Steve has shared with us. God first, and then letting God use your life and touching people. Because just think about that statement, too, that Steve just shared with us a minute ago. And that is that we can take people with us from this life. And as a Christian, when I'm in heaven, how beautiful to just see people in heaven that you knew here. And that reality, that just if you really think through it and meditate on that, the reality of how wonderful, how beautiful that how what that means that person to that person that they're in heaven and that you know them and how God used your little life in some way. If you're wrapped up, if you're just looking for the next TV series, if you're hoping for the sporting events to get kicked up, if it's the next release of some secular music group, their songs or whatever, if that's what it is and yet you profess you know Christ, it's really tragic. We have on the phone right now Steve Sutton, Cambodia, Villages of Cambodia. He's from the central area of Massachusetts. God got a hold of his heart a good number of years ago, and he's moved to Cambodia, and he's exhorting you and I in a time of COVID-19. And Steve, I want to get back to you. We've got just a couple more minutes before the break. But I want to go back to you for a couple more minutes, and then we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back after the break. But Steve, you know, as just your heart for the church as you were sharing, and as you look around, what further comes to your heart and mind?
Just to be faithful. You know, I know speaking this, knowing that it's going out in New England, I know there's limitations at this point, but I just want to remind everybody that there's a couple times in the New Testament where the Lord warned us to be careful, and he says, don't forget to assemble together. Don't forsake, assembling together. And, I know, and I've known people personally who have become discouraged or hurt through, various situations or relationships or whatever in the church. But, the fact is that the church as a whole is the body of Christ, and we need each other. And, it doesn't matter whether we can't get together physically in the church building, whatever. But the fact is, we are the body of Christ. We need each other. We need to help each other, get up and stand strong. We need to help each other work together for God's kingdom. We need to encourage each other, whatever, in a host of ways. And so I just want to encourage that, in whatever ways that you can, you still need to connect with fellow believers, still connect with the body of Christ. And whether that means, meeting in small groups in homes, or whether that means, talking by phone or whatever, or, with an online group or listening to sermons online, going to the drive-in service I know that you guys have there at Horizon, whatever it is, however it is, somehow stay connected to the body of Christ. Don't just kind of think, we can't go to church right now, so just kind of basically forget the church and put that on hold. That doesn't have to be the case. And, there's still a whole lot that we can do for each other and for the Lord, even during this time.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. We need to remain connected. I was talking to the leaders at our church last night, the Zoom conference elders meeting, as Massachusetts is slowly reopening now and the churches are starting to open too. But there is, I've heard different pastors, I've been in part of different meetings. There is a concern with some even I think it was Eric McTaxis. I was reading an email that he was writing and talking about the concern that will they be believers that already had that nature. It's really a spiritual laziness, a spiritual lack of discipline that now, after months and just getting comfortable with watching a service weekly on TV or Facebook, that they're going to be more prone to do that, thinking TV church or even radio church is going to be sufficient. And I've been thinking, as I get going and our church gets going, I've got to exhort our people. That is not sufficient. You've been caught in a trap. If you think that's sufficient, then what was something that you should have used to good, you let it trap you, and now you have a false understanding. But we need the assembly of one another's. And when we can help in a healthy way and not risk people's lives, and we can get back together in the sense of the virus isn't going to harm others through us or us, we need to start getting back together in the same buildings. And being a church, we're called. We need one another. So you're listening to Renew FM. We're going to be back in a couple minutes here. We're going to take a station break. But this is George Small, and I have Steve Sutton on the phone with me from Cambodia, the other side of the planet. We're going to continue after the break. you're listening to Renew FM. Welcome back to this special one-hour program where we are here to encourage you and to strengthen you through the Word of God. And it's a privilege for me. This is Pastor George Small. I get to speak with pastors from around the world, even missionaries. First half hour of this program, a program, by the way, that was pre-recorded earlier this morning because Steve Sutton and I are 11 hours apart. And so we had to do this earlier in the day and record it so we can play it at 6 p.m., 6 to 7 p.m. on Renew FM. But you're listening the first half hour, and, you know, Steve just sharing his heart about, you know, don't set your heart on your riches. When your riches increase, that's a futility. That's a vanity. They can leave so quickly. What matters is God. What matters is His truth. What matters is His kingdom. What matters is eternity. And as He is reminding you, a man who once was in New England and left and felt called by God to go love the people of Cambodia, has mastered the Khmer language, lives in a village 2 hours outside of Phnom Penh, but in a remote village. If you picture Cambodia in the photographs or in your mind, that's where he is. But exhorting you and I, he living for the Lord, God is using him. A church is even using his home at this time. COVID-19 has reached to Southeast Asia. And though the virus itself is very, very limited in Cambodia, just 100 and 200, just very little. Yet economically, it's really hit this nation that depends on tourism. They also have shut down their schools. They've also done many things to try to prevent the spread of COVID-19. COVID-19 has affected the entire world. So Steve has been sharing his heart, you know, encouraging you to live for the Lord. And this man has even shared, he believes there's not a lot of time. We're in the last days. We have a limited time. And do you believe that? If you believe that, if you really believe that, then look at your life. If you really believe time is short, does your life show that? Does it really? How many hours last week were you watching the television? Count up those hours. Do you really believe time is short? If you believe that time is short and you're numbering your days and you're counting your days and you want to live for the Lord, then you can just take an assessment and you can prove that you believe that by the way that you live. Sure, there's limitations. Sure, there's things that have slowed us down and we have to consider because of COVID-19, but yet we still have lots of things we can do, especially pray. But I want to get back to you, Steve, and again, it's a privilege, and I was just given a summary again and exhorting our listeners, but you know, Steve, as you continue, just share your heart at this time. I know you've got some other thoughts, Steve.
Sure, yeah, thanks. Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot that I could add to what, you know, what we've already discussed, but there is one thing that's come to my mind repeatedly over the past few months, and that is just how, you know, there's so many little things, so many little freedoms that we take for granted every day. And, I mean, I'm talking about even just, you know, the freedom to go out of your house when you want and go where you want. And, you know, it's just something we don't even think about. I mean, even when we talk about freedoms, we don't think about that as, you know, one of our prized freedoms, that we can go out of our house and go shopping or, you know, go here or there whenever we want, or go get together at church when we want. You know, it's just something we don't really even think about, that, you know, we take it for granted. We go where we want, we get what we want. And then now suddenly for so many people in so many places, you can't do that. You know, you can't even just go out of your house when you want, go where you want, get what you want. And, you know, so I've realized how much that I've taken for granted in the past. And I guess a positive effect of that, though, is that looking at, okay, well, what are the opportunities that I do have available to me right now? What can I do right now? Well, one of the things that I can do right now is, you know, I still, you know, we're not restricted to the house. So even though we can't have our classes and do a lot of our regular ministry teachings, you know, I still have the freedom to go to neighbors' houses. You know, I can go visit some of our students and their parents and grandparents at their house. And so I've realized that, you know, that's something I shouldn't take for granted. You know, I should take advantage of that. And so, you know, I've made an effort, you know, with knowing so many people and having so many kids come to our classes and our children's ministry, it's not possible to go see everybody regularly, but, you know, I've realized that it's one thing that I can do right now. And so I make the effort to go and to visit even for a short amount of time, you know, see how they're doing, try to help them with their schoolwork, help them make sure they are at least once in a while looking at their books or whatever. But also, it's an opportunity to share the gospel and to just talk to them about things that, we might not otherwise be getting to talk to. And, I've definitely seen the Lord working through this. And so that's a wonderful thing that I'm seeing happen here. But also just, for those listening, I would just encourage you that whatever the opportunities are that you have available to you right now, just, go for them. Take advantage of them. Don't just sit back and wait. Like initially, probably your first thought, probably like my first thought was, things are being closed, things are being shut down. We just got to kind of sit back and wait for things to open up again. But no, just whenever the opportunities are that are available to you right now, even if it's just, chatting online or making a phone call with some friends or neighbors or whatever, even if you can't go see them physically, just do it. Just take advantage of whatever the opportunities are and don't take it for granted because, hey, if we can lose the freedom just to go outside of our house, well, who's to say that something is not going to happen in the future that will, change those other opportunities that we have and take those away. So don't take it for granted, even the small things that you can do right now. Just go for it.
Those are great words, Steve, wise words. And I hope as our listener, you're taking that to heart. We as believers, sometimes we consider what would the world be like when there's a lot of persecution. We've seen churches that are persecuted around the world. We've seen believers. We know Voice of the Martyrs. We know the Richard Wurmbrands or whatever it might be. And you think about that. And if the days were to change, if things were to become more difficult, even for the church in the West, I think about that now and then. What would happen if I was at a place where it was illegal to be sharing the Bible and I had to spend time in prison? Well, while I was in prison, I'd be thinking back to all the freedoms I had before. And I used to say to our church, what would happen comes the day that, the day was to come where we're not able to meet anymore as a church, and I would remind the people of the privilege of being able to meet. A lot of Sundays I'd even begin, thanking the Lord we're able to be here today. We have this freedom to meet today. And as Steve has just reminded us, we, in a way now, not because of persecution, we are not able to meet the way we were just able to meet back in February and early March. Life can change just like that. I told our church here locally, we need to take this as if it's like a drill, like a fire drill. Let's use this as a practice, because who knows? Who knows what might come later? And if we learn how to do this and do this well, and we come back, and I believe we will, and we've grown in the Lord, and we're more serious about God, and less connected to the things of the world, and more connected to the eternal things, we've done it well. And then we'll be ready for the next thing. And Steve, your words are great. Don't take what you have for granted. Don't take the opportunities with your family, your friends. Don't take the opportunities you have all around you. Life, the day you have today, don't take it for granted. And especially, as you've just reminded, Steve, I think of Moses. Moses had the staff in his hand, and we often use that as an example. I've even read a devotional recently, that God, Moses, what do you have in your hand? You have a staff. And God wanted to use that thing that he had in his hand. And God used it powerfully. Look what God did with his staff. And what do you have? What opportunities do you have right now that God would like to use? I remember reading about a church up in New Hampshire that has this vision, pray for one, and I began to encourage our believers, pray for one, pray every day as you start your day. God, would you give me an opportunity to share your love with somebody? Just pray for one. Pray for that. God, would you give me an opportunity to share your love with somebody today? And I jokingly told our church, if that's copyrighted, then we'll do pray for two. Pray for two opportunities today, Lord. Give me two opportunities to share your love with somebody today. And honestly, those are things that God has given you and I. And to be in that moment with somebody crossing their path in a conversation, really considering that moment, God, what can I say? Is there something I can say right now? And I mentioned just a day or two ago, I crossed somebody's path, a businessman, and I've been less in, with people because of COVID-19, but a man who doesn't know God, and I wanted to use the opportunity. We had a conversation, and it didn't take long. I was, because of the opportunity of the hour, telling him about the Bible and what the Bible says about the last days, and we had quite a conversation. He doesn't know the Lord. But there was an opportunity I had. So taking the opportunity, don't take things for granted. And that means also then being thankful for what you have, being content with the things that God has given you, not holding on tightly to anything. When we have a tight grip on things, God often wants to deal with that grip. He doesn't want us to have such a tight grip on the things of the world. So what do you have? What opportunities do you have? Using those opportunities, even today, that God may give you, really having a heart where you're looking to Him and wanting God to use your life. The more we do as believers, the more God just, we see God work through our lives. Well, Steve, as we get here at the end of our time, I would like to just talk to you a little bit about suffering, because there are people that are afraid right now. There are people that are suffering. And, you know, you've learned the secret of being free and trusting in God. Certainly, you've also encountered a lot of spiritual battles. I read your newsletters. I've known you, been there. You know, you have a wealth of just personal knowledge. What would you say to those that are just afraid of even suffering?
Well, you know, I would just like to remind them of James chapter 1 from the Bible, where it says, you know, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials. And then continues on to describe why, because, you know, the testing of your faith produces patience, and, you know, and then on and on. But you know what? It's true. And that's something that I definitely learned from experience. I mean, I've read it in the Bible, you know, for years and years, but, you know, it's something even just during the past 2-3 years that I've been really learning from experience that, you know, it's true. The testing of your faith produces patience, and that only comes when you experience these trials. And so as difficult as they may seem, as painful as they may seem, as, you know, as much as sometimes, you know, not just sometimes, but when you're in a really difficult situation or a major trial, you know, it seems like you're not going to pull through. You feel like, how am I even going to get through this? But you know what? God does get you through. And when you see that He gets you through, then that produces more patience and stronger faith in you. And then the next time, you know, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but I'm saying that the next time, you know, you have more endurance, you have more patience, you're able to stay more calm and trust that God's going to get you through. And somehow, even though you can't see it, He's going to work this out. And then when you have that greater calm and that greater patience, then He can use you to help others through that situation. And so that's something that I would like to remind people of too, because it's not something that anybody looks forward to. It's a difficult and a painful thing, you know, when that happens. But it's how God works in us, and it's how He strengthens us. So, for anyone that's feeling like that or feeling hopeless or going through something, just know, even if it seems like you can't get through it, He will get you through it. And in the end, it'll strengthen your faith and your patience.
Yes, as you mentioned, Steve, tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And so as you're listening, don't have much hope, you are afraid where this is going. You know, it is quite a thing that God does, the formula there, that how God uses suffering in our life. God uses times, and if it doesn't hurt, if it doesn't cause fear, it's usually not much suffering, you know. God uses tribulation. Tribulations are those times where you're hurting. Tribulations are those times where you're afraid. That is tribulation. Tribulation God uses in the Christian to produce perseverance. As you keep getting up in the morning and praying and opening your Bible and talking to God, you're persevering. And that endurance, that perseverance, is then producing in you character. You're actually growing. When you go to the gym, if you haven't been to the gym a long time, it hurts, man, to pick up the weights, to get on the treadmill. It hurts. It hurts a lot because you're not in very good shape, same spiritually. But tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And that produces hope, which is quite a way to get to hope. You would never guess that's the way to grow in hope. But you do, as you see God working in your trials, what He's done through that in the past, you realize, as you're growing and walking with Him and spending time with Him in the trials, you actually are growing in faith and you're growing in hope. Quite an interesting process. And Steve, I know, as you've mentioned, you've been through quite a number of testings and trials, spiritual battles, as you seek to get the gospel out in some really tough places. And you're working with children. I know street kids. They're in Phnom Penh. Mm-hmm. Kids all around. And I've seen your heart get broken as you love these children. And some of them, you know, off the streets, you're helping and getting them into better living situations. And then situations happen and they're back on the streets again. And then I've even known of, I was even with you and some of the little boys that I met there in the village that you're loving and encouraging. A couple of them even died. And I remember getting that newsletter and was just sad myself thinking back to those little boys. You know, trials, pain. And yet, as you've mentioned, James says, count it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds. That has always been a wonder to me, a bit of a mystery. Count it all joy. But that's a man writing a letter who's understood the power of what God does through suffering, what God can do in my life when things are shaking around me, the power of that. Count it all joy that when you go through trials of various kinds because of what God is doing in your life. That's a great reminder, Steve. Thank you for that. And I know, Steve, too, you've learned a lot about prayer. You're a man of prayer, praying for a country, praying for young people. And it's one thing we can do right now. We're praying as a church for a revival, praying for God to just bring his spirit down at this time in our nation. And he's shaking this world. You know, would he awaken the church all the more in America right now through a time of revival? What can you encourage our listener about prayer?
Yeah, sure. I'm glad you asked, actually, because, you know, that's something I used to read in the Bible where it says pray without ceasing. And I always struggled with that because, you know, I wanted to be more of a man of prayer, someone who, you know, spent time in dedicated prayer. But, you know, I always struggled with that. I mean, I struggled with, number one, to find a time to go and sit down somewhere and pray. And then, number two, to struggle to focus, you know, in my praying. I mean, if you do take the time, say, you know, half an hour, are you just going to sit down and pray? Well, after 5 minutes, you know, your mind starts to wander off on this thing and that thing. And 10 minutes later, you realize, whoops, you know, half my time is gone and I only prayed for a few minutes. And that I always struggle with, okay, well, you know, God means what he says. So if he says pray without ceasing, I mean, how do you do that? I actually heard a testimony one time. I think it might have been from Billy Graham. I can't remember now, but, you know, how he was talking to somebody and this person, I guess, asked him, you know, about that, about, you know, pray without ceasing. And so what do you say about that? And he said, well, I do. You know, I do pray without ceasing. Even as I'm talking to you now, I'm praying. And at the time, it seemed like impossible. Like, I mean, how would you do that? But, you know, it's something that God has actually worked, you know, in me. And yes, there's times when we need to set aside time and sit down and pray for a while, you know, or get together in a prayer meeting. I'm not downplaying that because that's vitally important. But I'm just saying that you can pray anytime, anywhere, regardless of what you're doing. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as just a quick phrase where, you know, you remember a certain person comes to mind and you really want to pray for them. You just pray quick, you know, oh God, I remember so-and-so and, you know, how can you keep them out of temptation, strengthen and encourage them or, you know, whatever. And, you know, you can do that anytime, anywhere. After a while, it becomes second nature to where, you know, I find myself praying all the time. And, you know, the vast majority of it is just this, you know, quick, simple, you know, a few seconds or a minute or two, you know, just, or as I'm driving down the road, you know, just constantly remembering things, remembering people, or, you know, feeling a certain way or having a certain situation. But the point is that, you know, this pray without ceasing, it's something that every believer can do. And that, yeah, it's something you've got to learn. It doesn't, you know, it's not just natural to us, but, you know, as we grow spiritually, we can learn to do that. And, you know, it's wonderful and it's amazing when you have that personal relationship with the Lord where you can just, you know, you're constantly conscious of his presence. You're constantly aware that you're, you know, connected with him and you're talking back and forth to him, you know, all the time. And then, you know, hey, I'm human too. There's times when I realize, you know, for the past number of hours or this entire day or something, I haven't really even thought about the Lord. That happens to me too. But the point is, you know, prayer is vitally important, and prayer is something that we can do. We can learn to pray without ceasing.
Steve, I've actually slowly over my years have been learning the same thing. that I want to get alone with the Lord in the quiet. I need that to have an intimate walk for me. I really do find so much in that, but it's not possible. Sometimes things start happening before your phone even wakes you up to get up in the morning. You know, it's just human, and the world has fallen, so keeping a schedule of even being alone with the Lord is not always the easiest thing to do. And as you've mentioned, too, sometimes we set aside our half hour, hour, 2 hours, whatever it might be, and your mind wandered so much, and it wasn't what you had hoped to achieve in your time of prayer. I have that happen, too. But, you know, to continue to set aside time with the Lord, as you reminded us, too, is so, so critical. But praying without ceasing is walking with the Lord, and it's just praying all those little prayers throughout the day, too. It's just moment by moment as you're even having a conversation, praying and praying. Your heart, a heart of prayer is just in you, and you're praying little prayers throughout the day. That is what it told to pray without ceasing, is to continue just to live that life today and tomorrow and the next day, and just continue to be a person that is lifting our hearts to the Lord as we just walk with Him. So I appreciate that. And, you know, in a time like this, there's so many things we can be praying for. If we are limited in our travel, if we are limited because of, you know, the different maybe health issues we have, and aren't we maybe a little less free to do things that we were doing before, well, prayer is something that we have more opportunity to do than, and we can be praying and interceding, and a life of prayer. There's no greater life, and it's a good life, and I know you've learned a whole lot about it, Steve, so I appreciate you sharing that with us. In fact, I'd like to end our time together, Steve, and have you even just pray for our audience at this hour with the radio and people that are in the different states in New England that can hear Renew FM or listening online. Just having you to just end our time with a word of prayer for our radio audience, okay?
Sure. Yeah, let's pray. Well, Father, I just thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to George and to the listening audience. And Lord, you know, it's wonderful to see what you're doing, what you have done, and what you continue to do, Lord, even at a time like this. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen and encourage each person listening at this time, realizing that we are not forgotten, we are not forsaken, you are with us, and you will strengthen us, Lord. You will open opportunities for us to connect with each other as we connect with you, for us to seek you, for us to serve you, and to be used by you in whatever ways and whatever opportunities that you provide for us, that you open for us every day. Lord, help us to see those opportunities, those open doors, and to walk through them, Lord, even if it isn't what we're used to doing in the past. But, Lord, it's whatever you open the door of opportunity for at this point. So help us to walk through that, Father. Help us to be constantly mindful of you and to be in touch with you every day, Lord, just to be those people who pray without ceasing, who are constantly conscious of your presence with us, and who are thankful for the things that you do for us, and who are seeking your help and your assistance for those things that we need, and for others that are around us, so that you bring to our minds. Lord, I thank you for Pastor George. Thank you for Horizon. Thank you for how you've used them in my life, in the lives of so many others, Lord. I pray that you continue to use them, and to use the Renew FM radio, Lord, in the lives of many others, especially at this time when people are more connected through radio and through online than through physical places. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to stand strong in you until you return, and to be steadfast, to be increasing in faith and hope, Lord, until the day that you bring us home to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Steve, if our listeners wanted to reach out to you, connect with you, God just prompted their heart, how would they connect with you? What's the easiest way to get a hold of you? They wanted to send an email, or what's the best communication?
Sure. Email is fine, and that's actually the easiest form of communication where we're so far apart and with the time difference. Emails are great. We welcome people to contact us. It's BookWarbler2. Spell that for you. It's BookWarbler, the number 2, at msn.com. Again, BookWarbler2 at msn.com. We work with Water of Life, organization Water of Life. They have an address in California as well as the address here in Cambodia. But yes, as far as a regular address or support or anything, that all goes through Water of Life. And their address, so it's Water of Life, and it's P.O. Box 2022, and that's in Fallbrook, California, Fallbrook, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Okay. So that's Water of Life, and that's the organization that we work with.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Steve. Give your wife a big hug for us, your children, and we'll continue
thank
to pray.
You.
And the birth goes well, too. So God bless you
thank
and have
you.
A great day.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for this previously recorded interview with Pastor George Small and Steve Sutton. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.